Welcome to our service for the sixth Sunday of Easter. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Alleluia. Grace and peace be with you, and keep you in the love of Christ. Alleluia.
Colours of day dawn into the mind. The sun has come up, the night is behind. Go down in the city and into the street, and let's give a message to the people we meet. So light up the fire and let the flame burn. Open the door, let Jesus return. Take seeds of his spirit and let the fruit grow. Tell the people of Jesus to let his love show. Go through the park on into the town. The sun still shines on, it never goes down. The light of the world is risen again. The people of darkness are needing a friend. So light up the fire and let the flame burn. Open the door, let Jesus return. Take seeds of his spirit and let the fruit grow. Tell the people of Jesus to let his love show. Look into the sky. The darkness has come, the sun came to die. The evening draws on, the sun disappears. But Jesus is living, his spirit is here. So light up the fire and let the flame burn. Open the door, let Jesus return. Take seeds of his spirit and let the fruit grow. Tell people of Jesus to let his love show. So light up the fire and let the flame burn. Open the door, let Jesus return. Take seeds of his spirit and let the fruit grow. Tell the people of Jesus to let his love show.
Lord Jesus, you raise the dead to life in the Spirit. Lord, have mercy. Lord Jesus, you bring pardon and peace to the sinner. Christ, have mercy. Lord Jesus, you give light to those in darkness. Lord, have mercy. Let us confess our sins to Almighty God. Heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought, word, and deed. We have failed to do those things that we ought to have done, and we have done those things that we ought not to have done. We are sorry and truly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and lead us in his way to walk as children of light. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, pardon and deliver us from all our sins. Confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in life eternal, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us pray. The Collect for the sixth Sunday of Easter. God, our Redeemer, you have delivered us from the power of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of your Son. Grant that as by his death he has recalled us to life, so by his continual presence in us, he may raise us to eternal joy. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and for ever. Amen.
With song.
Second reading is from John chapter 15, verses 9 to 17. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commands, so that you may love one another. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
From
May the words that I speak and the meditations of all our hearts be now and ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. As I write these words, excitement is growing in the rugby community in these islands ahead of Warren Gatland's selection of the British and Irish Lions on Thursday to tour South Africa. By the time you hear these words, Gatland's decisions will have been made. All the press speculation about this fly half or that will have been replaced by criticism which picks apart the reasons why he made them. There are some reactions we can be sure of. The supporters of England, Wales, Scotland and Ireland will unanimously accuse Gatland of favouring the other countries over their own. Two tours ago, only two Scottish players were picked. It was greeted as an insult north of the border. But it seemed a balanced selection to the residents of one Welsh village. After all, there were only two for Bankofelin. Of the 50 players who at this moment know they're in the frame for selection on Thursday, some will by now have been bitterly disappointed. Some, at first exultant, will have remembered their teammates and friends who haven't made the squad, and they'll temper their celebrations with the consideration of others. Jesus said to his disciples, "You did not choose me, I chose you." It was, of course, at one level merely a statement of fact. Back in Galilee, he had chosen them by the lakeside, called them to follow him, and they had followed. But the theological implications of God's choosing have raged through the centuries, reaching a peak at the time of the Reformation, when the great Swiss theologian John Calvin put the doctrine of election at the heart of his Reformed theology. The idea of God's choosing, though, has a much longer history than that. It reaches back into the earliest chapters of the Jewish scriptures. I was speaking last week of how intimate the relationship was between the Jewish people and their God, and especially how it would have appeared so to the pagans amongst whom the Jews lived in the diaspora. It was precious to the Jews that they were the Lord's people and he was their God, and that preciousness was born of his choosing, his sovereign election. We read in Deuteronomy 7, "God has chosen you out of all the peoples on earth to be his people, his treasured possession." How then are we to understand what appears to be God's favouritism, that he might choose one people and not another, even one person and not another? Is God unjust? At one level, the answer to that question is found in our New Testament reading today, the story of Peter in the house of the Gentile Roman centurion Cornelius. If it had been true up to now that only the Jews were God's chosen people, it now becomes clear that God's grace is available to everyone. Last week, in the story of the Ethiopian eunuch, we saw how the good news of the kingdom had broken out into the court of the eunuchs. In this story, it breaks out into the court of the Gentiles. Peter tells his Gentile audience of the saving death and resurrection of Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, who was the force that inspired Peter to accept the invitation to Cornelius's house, falls unmistakably on his hearers, as it had fallen on the disciples on the day of Pentecost. And just as last week we heard the eunuch cry, "Here is water, what is to prevent me being baptized?" So now Peter asks the question, "Can anyone withhold the water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" So the first part of the answer to the question, why did God choose a special people, is that he did so in order that through them he might make his grace and mercy available to everyone. Jesus says to the Samaritan woman at the well, "Salvation is from the Jews, but the hour is now here when true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Jesus lived and died a Jew, as did Peter. But through Peter's preaching of Jesus' salvation, the message was blown by the Holy Spirit across the world, to people of every tribe and language, every nation and race. The second thing to say about the nature of God's election is that his people were chosen to be holy. The whole of Deuteronomy 7:6 reads, "For you are a people holy to the Lord your God." And then, "The Lord your God has chosen you out of all the peoples on earth to be his people, his treasured possession." That indeed is the root meaning of the word holy. It means to be set aside for the purposes of God. When we talk about the holy table in church, for example, that is what we mean. There are many tables, but this one is set aside for the Lord's use, to be used for the Holy Communion. Even the most cursory review of Jewish history would tell you that God's choosing of the Jewish people does not amount to favoritism. Far from it. "Couldn't you choose somebody else sometime?" asks Tevye in the musical The Fiddler on the Roof, as the Jewish community in his Russian village suffers another Tsarist pogrom. In the first century AD, this too was obvious to those who looked on the Jewish community from the outside. They were deeply serious about holiness. And to some people, as we were saying last week, that serious holiness was deeply attractive. It was clearly so to Cornelius, who here represents all the Gentiles who could now be included in the people of God. The New Testament is clear that both the privilege and the responsibility of God's election now passes to the Christian church. That is to say, it passes to you and me. It is Peter again, this time in his writing, who makes that clear. In both the stories we've considered in these last 2 weeks, baptism has been a theme. How the Ethiopian eunuch and the household of Cornelius were joyfully admitted to the people of God through baptism. We believe that the first epistle of Peter is a baptism sermon written for such new believers. In it, Peter emphasizes, above all, that they have been included into the chosen family of God, with all the privileges and all the responsibilities that belong to membership of it. "You are a chosen race," he writes, "a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." That privilege and that responsibility now belong to you and me. Not just in what we say, but in what we do, how we live, in the kind of people we are set apart by the Lord to show that he has called us into the light in which we are walking. Amen. Let us affirm our faith together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Now it's time for our prayers. We begin as usual with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Ent ad adhunuit in anavaith, sancte de enu, deled de dernas, gunella de wechlis, megis in an e vechli arathear hevid. Dodoni heddiw ein bara beinyddiol, a maddai i ni ein dyledion, fel y maddai yw nina ein dyledwyr. Ac nac arwain ni brofed i gaeth, eitha gwared ni rhag drwg, can ei seiddo ti o'r dernas, a'r gallu a'r gogoniant, yn oes oes oedd. Amen. And now let us pray for the church and for the world. And let us thank God for his goodness. Almighty God, Father of all mercies, we, your unworthy servants, give you most humble and heartfelt thanks for all your goodness and loving kindness to us and to all people. We bless you for our creation, preservation, and all the blessings of this life, but above all for your inestimable love and the redemption of the world by our Lord Jesus Christ, for the means of grace, and for the hope of glory. Give us, we pray, that due sense of all your mercies, that our hearts may be unfeignedly thankful, and that we show forth your praise, not only with our lips, but in our lives, by giving up ourselves to your service, and by walking before you in holiness and righteousness all our days. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honour and glory, world without end. Amen. We pray for the Lord's people throughout the world, for our Bishop Joanna, Archdeacon Eileen, Area Dean John, and our assistant clergy Judith, Halewen and John. We continue to pray for David. We pray for the church in those places where it is persecuted, for Christians who bravely witness to the love of Christ in the face of danger. We pray especially at this time also for Christians in India, and especially in Delhi, as they continue to care for people in the midst of the pandemic there. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray indeed for all the people of Delhi and of India, and especially for doctors and nurses who work on despite being overwhelmed by the rate of infection and the lack of resources, especially oxygen and vaccines. We pray for those responsible for policy in that country and for organising the nation's response. We pray above all for all those who are suffering with COVID and all those who have been bereaved. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And finally, we pray for our families and our loved ones near and far, and especially for any whom we've not been able to see because of the pandemic. We remember especially any who are lonely or isolated, or who suffer from other conditions and disabilities. We give thanks for the gradual lifting of restrictions, and we pray above all that the day may soon come when we can spend time freely with those we love, without danger or restriction. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen.
Longing and fainting, the cold.
Almighty God, our heavenly Father, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, and work in you always that which is well-pleasing in his sight. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, rest upon you and remain with you, this day and always. Amen.